want to change the position of the microphone? Oh, okay.
Let's do that. There we go. And that's okay. Good distance from the mic. That's fine. You've been doing this a lot lately, eh?
Oh, yeah. It was a busy time.
Yeah, good.
And it's not finished yet.
No.
I have another one today at 11 at CFAX.
Oh, really?
And then I'll have to go tomorrow to Vancouver for...
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, channel... Studio 4. Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, that's good. Good to get the word out, eh?
Yeah, I hope so.
Excellent. So this will run tomorrow at this
time.
At 8:15 tomorrow.
8:15.
Okay. Great. And I'll do the intro. We'll just do the whole thing as a package, and we can just drop it in tomorrow. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. You want to do that right now? No. And But if it's something we can pre-tape, I don't know what it's about. Okay. Well, everyone knows it's 2006, but what if everyone's wrong? What if it's not 2006? What if it's only, say, 1006? What would that mean? Florent Diaco has spent a lot of time thinking about this. In fact, he's written a book about it. The book is entitled The Lost Millennium, and Professor Diaco is my guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
What got you thinking about this?
Well, Paul, it was a very interesting coincidence. I met a friend, a mathematician in Mexico in 1994, and he told me about the works of Anatoly Fomenko, who is also a Russian colleague, member of the Russian Academy of Sciences, who challenges historical chronology. So he does not think that this is the year 2006, and that, in fact, the Middle Ages were very short or did not exist at all.
At all?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Well, how could this be? I mean, because this is sort of our received wisdom, so how could we be so dramatically wrong?
Well, this issue is not new. In fact, many other people challenged historical chronology, starting with Isaac Newton. In just before he died, he wrote an important book about this, which was published posthumously. And many other people after him challenged historical chronology. In fact, this science is not too old. It was born just about 400 years ago. Its founder was a French scholar, Joseph Scaliger, who mastered 13 languages, studied about 50 calendars, and wrote a huge book, a 7-volume book, about historical chronology. Before him, people knew that the events of history happened, from documents, of course, but it was very difficult to pin down when they happened.
Right.
Well, the problem is that when you study calendars, even if you understand them, every calendar has a so-called era, so a starting point from when you count.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, the starting point, the era, is the year 1 AD. So even if you understand the calendar, as I said, the question is, when do you start counting from? So what is the starting point?
Mm-hmm.
And to determine this, you need mathematics. More precisely, you need celestial mechanics. From records of eclipses, of planetary motions and positions, you can count back in time and determine when something really took place.
So using these kinds of calculations, what brings the Middle Ages into question?
Well, let me give you an example. The History of the Peloponnesian War is a famous book by Thucydides. In this book, the Greek historian describes three eclipses, a sequence of three eclipses. The first one was total. 7 years later was another solar eclipse, which is partial. And 11 years later was a lunar eclipse. He also tells approximately at what time of the year the eclipses happened and also the time of the day. So there are not many such sequences of three eclipses in history. And Scaliger put the beginning of the war, which coincided with the first eclipse, to 431 BC. Now, Fomenko showed that there are two more solutions to this in historical time, one in the 11th century AD and the other in the 12th century AD. Now, the problem with the first eclipse of 431 BC is that it was in fact not total, and astronomers realized that only about the end of the 19th century. So this example alone shows you that if we trust Thucydides' word and we believe that these eclipses took place as he describes them, then we have a problem with the beginning of the Peloponnesian War.
So how do you know that on that date, so long ago, that there actually was an eclipse that was only partial and not full? I mean, how do you know that?
Well, so once we, if you accept Thucydides' word mm-hmm. as he describes the eclipses, and on the other hand, we can compute any eclipses when they took place if we, you know, we use celestial mechanics and mathematics, which is my expertise.
Let's suppose then that the Middle Ages didn't happen, or at least didn't happen as we thought they had. Then what? I mean, what does this mean?
Well, this means that our understanding of history is wrong. So this means that our understanding of our culture, who influenced whom in literature, all our past is under question. Of course, in my book, I'm not saying that this is the case. So I want to make it clear that my book is an objective account of what historians say and what these mathematicians say, including Isaac Newton, Johannes Kepler, and other scientists. So I'm allowing you to draw the conclusion for yourself. And it's very interesting that people who read my book, who read The Lost Millennium, came up with very different impressions about what the truth is. So some of them think that historians are right, others think that Fomenko is right, and that historical chronology, as we know it traditionally, is completely wrong.
The book is called The Lost Millennium. The author is Florin Diacu, and the spelling of that name, by the way, if you're looking for it in the bookstore, is D-I-A-C-U. What is, if let's suppose that this is true, and the Middle Ages were much more abbreviated, or didn't happen at all, and it's not really 2006, so, like, who cares?
Well, then we can ask the question, who cares about culture, or who cares about mathematics? Of course, we do care about our past, because if we don't understand our past, we cannot learn from it, and we cannot understand the future.
So, if that is true, then we have to go back and reassess everything we know about the world?
Yes, if Fomenko is correct that historical chronology is wrong, then we would have to reinterpret the entire history. So how history is constructed is, in principle, very simple, but in fact is very difficult to do.
Could you give me an example of something that we would have to go back and look at again in a whole new way?
Well, we would have to look at everything again, because history is constructed in the following way. First, you fix a few dates using astronomy, using science. After that, you look at the historical documents, and in these historical documents, you cannot believe everything, because there are contradictions. So then, related to the years you fixed already, you can accept or you can reject certain facts described in documents. So this is how history was constructed up to this day, by accepting certain things and by discarding others. Now, if you fix different dates, so if you start with a very different fundamental system, then you have to reinterpret everything from scratch.
Florin, thank you very much for coming in this morning. It's fascinating.
Thank you very much for having me here, Paul.
The book is called The Lost Millennium. The author is Florin Diacu, D-I-A-C-U, who is a professor, by the way, at the University of Victoria. That book is published by Alfred A. Knopf. The Lost Millennium by Florin Diacu.